Mart Stores, Inc. Justice Miller Lerman is recused from this matter.
Easy, happily.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, thank you. Counsel, for good morning. George Martin here on behalf of Walmart Stores, Inc. The Court of Appeals decision in this case would go a long way toward eroding a longstanding principle that Nebraska landowners are not insurers. To have constructive notice, to have an issue of fact over constructive notice, plaintiffs would have had to have shown some dispute as to whether or not the hazard was whether it was open and obvious and had existed for a sufficient length of time for Walmart to notice it.
And so what is the hazard here? Ice?
Ice. And the only evidence in the record is that the Starkses didn't notice any ice when they were approaching the store, didn't notice any ice when they got to the sidewalk where Ms. Stark slipped. And Ms. Stark's testimony was that after she slipped, she wasn't sure what she had slipped on. She still couldn't tell what she had slipped on, and she closely inspected the sidewalk, and only then, laying on the ground, could she discern that she had slipped on ice. That's the only evidence in the record about whether this was, visible and apparent, not open and obvious, visible and apparent prior to her fall.
There's evidence about the thickness of the ice.
There's evidence about the thickness.
Is that what the Court of Appeals focused on?
Well, the Court of Appeals focused on thickness, I believe, more to determine that it had existed for a sufficient amount of time. The Court of Appeals on the issue of visible and apparent sort of twisted, I think, the decision in Clunan in a way that it wasn't intended. We argued that Clunan says Walmart can't be expected to see something that, the plaintiff couldn't see. And in this case, it's really clear neither the plaintiff or her husband, I guess they're both plaintiffs, the woman who fell, Ms. Starks and Mr. Starks, neither of them could see that. And if they couldn't see it, we couldn't see it. And what the Court of Appeals said with regard to Clunan was that, in Clunan, there was no hazard. It was determined that there was no hazard. Here it was determined there was a hazard, in part because of the thickness of the ice and the ice patch and the pictures. But that doesn't change the fact that before the fall, there is no evidence that this was visible. There is no evidence that anyone could have seen this, and the plaintiffs themselves, again, couldn't see it. Ms. Starks couldn't see it until she fell, and even then she had to look closely to see what she had fallen upon. As to the sufficient length of time, the Court of Appeals focused on the thickness, as Your Honor mentioned. The problem with that is the Court of Appeals decision is a conclusion that it must have existed for some amount of time, and that is not sufficient dispute of fact to prevent the entry of summary judgment. All that would mean was that a jury was left to make a conjecture about how long it existed. There was no expert testimony about how long the ice would have taken to have formed. The only evidence in the record is a statement by Mr. Starks, who has some history of working in snow removal, that it would have taken, his best guess, 3 to 4 hours, but could have taken less than an hour for the ice to form.
What do we know about the temperature in the hours before the fall? We know what the temperature was at the time of the fall. What do we know about the weather conditions preceding it?
The record doesn't contain any information about that. It's 33 degrees, I believe, is the evidence at the time of the fall. And that's sort of goes to our point on a sufficient amount of time. How cold was it? Was there an uptick in precipitation prior to it? Was there wind?
It was windy too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Does that affect the formation of ice?
It probably does, but without an expert.
Do we know? Does a record tell us?
No, it does not. I think a layperson would say it probably does, but so whether that meant it was 15 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, we don't know. And again, I go back to that statement, some amount of time.
Was this patch of ice near a place where water drained from a roof, and is that a fact that has some significance here?
Sure. It was. I believe there's a drowned spout that's going to be presented here. It would be relevant if there were testimony that made it relevant and, or evidence, and what I mean by that is, there's no evidence here, as there are in other cases, some of which the plaintiff cited, that the store was aware that an ice patch had ever formed in that place before, that, that the downspout had even been there for any amount of time. They had had prior history of this. The only testimony is an affidavit from the store manager saying, we've never had this problem before. And so I think the fact that there's a pool forming outside of a downspout could have created facts that might have prevented the entry of summary judgment, but they don't here because we just don't have those facts. So I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal and would argue that the some amount of time standard is untenable and completely inconsistent with Nebraska law.
I hesitate to even ask this and use this term duty, but did your client have some duty to anticipate that ice would form under the downspout?
I think the duty about whether ice would form on the downspout would be the same duty it has to its premises, just to make sure there's not a hazard that is visible and apparent for the folks that are going to come there and try to shop. And so, absent evidence that it was more likely to form ice at the downspout, absent evidence that that was some hazard that they were aware of or it was something that had occurred historically, I don't think this case could be decided on a duty related to that set of facts.
Is there something about ice that is so common and knowledgeable to all of us that makes this different, for example, from if the wind had blown
sure.
a large piece of wood
sure.
there?
I don't think so. You know, ice, it's attractive to say, well, we all know about ice and ice forms and this and that, but we don't. We don't know, you know, how long it takes an ice to go from a half inch to an inch or a quarter inch to a half an inch. There's multiple factors that impact how ice forms. And so I don't think ice is something that is so common and there's such a well-respected common body of logical knowledge about it that it could be the basis for deciding that there's a reasonable inference that can be drawn here.
Even if we were to credit Mr. Starks's testimony that it was 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever he said, how would we go about determining whether that's a sufficient amount of time?
Well, there's no evidence in the record about the last time Walmart inspected. There's no evidence in the record about what their routine practices were. There's none of that. And I think that's the difference between this case and the Abbott case. There, we know the folks went around the field and looked, and the real issue was, did they exercise reasonable care? Because it was pretty certain that the hole was there beforehand. We don't have any of that evidence here. So, you know, even if you were to credit that and say, okay, it could have been under an hour, but it was likely 3 or 4 hours, I think that's one of the problems with the plaintiff's case is there would have to be some other piece of evidence that would allow the court to find negligence, whereas here it would just be that a finding that it had existed. I'll reserve the 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Welch, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, we're not on stage this time around. I just wanted to, my argument is, this is what they did to create this hazard. This is what they put right next to the sidewalk. This is the
is that
downspout. It was a downspout.
Is
we
that
have a
evidence in this case?
Yes. There is a downspout, and that's where the ice was formed, right around the downspout. And this was going to be an exhibit, this is the type of downspout that was there. This is what was put down from the ceiling or down from the roof so that water could come out from the roof. They knew about this when they built it over 10 years ago. It doesn't take an expert to understand that water coming out of a downspout when you're in January is going to cause ice to form. And in this particular case, the evidence was there was water streaming out of this downspout. Now, when they built this, when they constructed this, they could have done away with this. And all they had to do was make it into the sewer. And that would have prevented any leakage or any stream of water coming out of this downspout. Okay, they created with this downspout. So now they're on notice. Now they're on notice. What do you do?
What are they on notice of?
They're on notice that this can cause water coming out of here forming ice. In this case, 5 by 5, 25 square feet. All they have to do, now that they're on notice, and they've been on notice for over 10 years, get out there and throw a little ice melt on it. Do you know, when I came in this morning, on the west side, and there's all kinds of construction up there, but we're in a hallway, there was a big yellow warning for me. Danger. It may be slick, or it may be wet. All right, all they had to do then, we've got a sidewalk. They're putting a sidewalk alongside a drainage pipe, an open spout. So all they had to do was put that same sign up here next to the drainage spout, or put out a cone, just an orange cone, to let people know, walk around. Walmart was on notice, and they easily could have prevented all of this happening, and they didn't do it. I'm here because I want you to publish what the Court of Appeals did in their decision. We have had some slip and fall cases come up, and they didn't get anywhere. But this case needs to be published, and it needs to be published along the same lines as the Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Mr.
Thank you. Just Martin. Briefly, the record is void of any evidence about how long the drain spout had existed in the condition that it existed. It was void of any evidence that Walmart had had a problem there before. The record doesn't contain any information to suggest that this had been an ongoing problem. It doesn't contain any information to suggest that an expert said that this was an improper way to construct a store and a sidewalk. That evidence simply doesn't exist. As I mentioned, there are cases that the plaintiff cited in his brief where folks were able to recover or at least get past summary judgment because of a condition like this where an expert had come in and said that's a problem. Or I believe in those cases, the landowner had said, yes, we'd had an issue there before and I was aware of it and it was something I needed to do and fix. This record just doesn't contain any of that evidence. There are no facts to support that argument. The plaintiffs couldn't see it, and Walmart can't be expected to see it. The some amount of time standard that the Court of Appeals subscribed to is untenable and inconsistent with Nebraska law, and for those reasons, ask you all to uphold the district court's granting of summary judgment to Walmart. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will go on to the next case of